This morning, we're going to turn our attention back to one of the great sermons of the Bible, but not as we read in an Acts of Peter and Paul, but by Jesus himself, and taking a look at the Sermon on the Mount. And to start our thoughts, I'd like to begin with two questions for you to think about. When people are seeking things of this life, and things of this life don't go the way they want, where do they turn? Where do we turn for answers and for the good things of life? And the second question, as we begin our study of the sermon, is what do you see as the purpose of the Bible? If you had to state the theme of the Bible in, like, not 25 words, but maybe one or two sentences, how would you state the theme of the Bible? If we get into the Sermon on the Mount, hopefully we'll see the very theme of the whole Bible coming out before us. And that the theme I'd like you to think about as we go through the sermon, if you think about the Scriptures, all the way from Genesis, all the way to the Revelation, there's probably more than one answer for what the theme is that goes through. You could say Jesus himself, because in many ways the whole Bible sort of revolves around Jesus. From the Old Testament pointing towards him and afterwards pointing away, all point towards Christ. But there's another way to look at the Scriptures too. And that is, the Scriptures is a God that is calling to his people. If you think back to when the Sermon on Mars Hill, Paul says that God created everything that is, and he created it so that people would seek after him. The idea throughout the Scriptures, from the very beginning of Genesis, is that here is a God that's reaching out to his people, to those people that will listen to him. Look over to 1 Peter, and Peter, echoing many of the Scriptures and thoughts of the Old Testament, says this to the church. The church is actually of Asia. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God." And more than any other thing, as you go through the Sermon on the Mount, more than any other thought, is this thought of being a people of God. We looked at, in the beginning of Romans, where Paul says we can be right before God by his grace through our faith. By believing in him, we can receive forgiveness of our sins. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus takes us to, what does it really mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to belong to God? What does it mean to be one of his chosen people, to be holy, in other words, separate from the world? As you go through the Sermon on the Mount, you cannot go through more than one paragraph at a time without seeing this contrast between the world and Christians, those that follow Christ and the world, and how separate they are. And I sometimes wonder, how separate are we? We try sometimes to conform to the world much more than we should. Do we really have that separateness from the world? Are we really different from the world? And through the Sermon on the Mount, Christ is going to bring that contrast down. What does it mean to be a follower of mine? What does it mean to really follow me? Jesus is going to show us what it means. If you want to be a follower of Christ, you go through the Sermon on the Mount and you can understand this is what it means to be a Christian. And that's what we'll be looking at today and over the next few days, next few Sundays. If you look over to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul talks about our blessings in Christ. Where do we turn when things of this world kind of go against us, when everything sort of seems maybe upside down and we don't understand what's going on? Too often we turn to the wrong places. But the blessings are in following Christ. The blessings are in God. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul says it like this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the very creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." The spiritual blessings are in Christ. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus starts the sermon out with this idea that you can be blessed if you're one of mine. Now, we call these Beatitudes, and we looked at those in depth back in September and October of this year. But if you look with me at the Beatitudes, and notice how Jesus starts his sermon, showing what the character that he wants his followers to have. And these are the attributes. This is what it means to follow Christ, is to be like this. So listen what he says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, one thing as you go through those, you notice that all the blessings are in the future. We don't live for the things that are of this world right now. We live for the future. Blessed. You're going to be blessed by God if you do these things. You will be blessed. And that really is present, looking towards the future. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul brings out the same idea that our blessings that come from following Christ. When he says in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 10. And we pray that in order that you may... Colossians 3 and verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. That's the future. We set our minds not on earthly things, but on spiritual things, the things that are of Christ. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, we see that idea, that flavor come forth, that we set our minds on things to come, not on the things of this world. This is not the purpose of our life, the things of this world. The poor in spirit, those who know they need God. And that's really the first step to come to God, is to know that you need God, that we don't have the answers within ourselves. Those that mourn, those who are sorrowful now, they will be comforted, and they will then be able to comfort others. The meek. That is an idea that is so foreign to the world today, the idea of meekness. Meekness simply means the quality of not being overly impressed with oneself. It has the idea of gentleness, humility, courtesy, and politeness. And sometimes we've missed the very idea of being courtesy and polite, to be the idea of honoring each other above ourselves, the idea of being a meekness. Merciful. Showing mercy does not mean that we show mercy to those who deserve it. Mercy means we show mercy and grace to those who do not deserve it. That's what mercy is. And that's what we want mercy from our Father. We want His unmerited grace, not because we deserve it, because He is a merciful God. And when we show mercy, we start being like God. All of these attributes, you really could say, this is what our God is like. And that's why when we put these into our lives, we start becoming like Jesus. Peacemakers, we let peace reign in our lives. Not what we think, what we deserve, or our rights. And so often we start talking about our rights, but we let peace be the deciding factor. All of these are the blessings we receive in the Lord when we start being like the Lord. And that's the idea, that we start putting these into our lives so that we can have the character that Jesus wants us to have. Being a Christian means we have a Christian character. And too often I think we may have lost sight of that. What does it mean to be a Christian? To have a character like Christ is what it means to be a Christian. And this starts with these Beatitudes. And then Jesus says, now if you're like this, if you put these into your life, then you're going to have an influence on the world around you. And that's really what we're looking at today. Look at the next section. our scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but the salt loses its saltiness. How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. Now you think about what he's talking about, our influence. When we start having the character of Christ, you will have influence on those around you. And he brings this out in two ideas, the idea of salt and the idea of light. They both are very similar in some ways, but they have different aspects. Now we think of salt mostly as something that adds spice to our foods. But throughout history, salt mainly was used as a preservative until maybe 100 years ago when we started having refrigerators. But before you could refrigerate food, the way that you preserve food was using salt. And so for most of the history of the world, salt has been a preservative. And Jesus uses it that way. But he even goes a little further because he says you must have salt in yourself. Salt sort of has bite. It doesn't just go along. It's not just honey-coating everything. But it is a preservative. And we must have that idea with ourselves that we preserve those around us. The idea of light. Brings light is the idea that we show Christ. And here we show Christ by our deeds, by our good works, by the way we live our lives. We show people what does it mean to be a Christian. To let our light shine. Let our lives shine before men. So that may what? Bring glory and honor to our Lord. And that's the idea that they may praise the Lord, they may bring honor to the Lord by the way that we live. Notice these four ideas that Jesus brings forth. One, the contrast between the world. He says, you will do this in the world. But he talks to us, and he said, but you will be the salt to the earth or the light to the world. In other words, we're to live in the world, but we're not to be part of that world. But we are to have an influence on our communities, on those around us, more so than just within our own congregation. We're to reach out to the world. And we're to be part of that world in that respect, but we're not to be part of the world as being a part of the world. But we're to have an influence on the world. Now this means that we need to keep ourselves separate from the world. We need to renew our minds. In Romans chapter 12, Paul talks about renewing your mind. In 2 Peter, Peter writes to the church, and says, I'm going to tell you things that you already know, but I want to renew those in your mind. I want to refresh your memory while I still have the chance. We need to spend time in God's Word in order to keep ourselves separate from the world, but to keep our minds and our attitudes fresh before the Lord. The other thing he brings out, this is a commandment. You ever notice that? He says, you are the salt of the world. You are the light. This is something we are to be. If we're to be of Christ, this is a part of our lives. Now, we looked a little bit at that a couple weeks back, and we said, as a Christian, part of our religion, part of our beliefs, is that we spread the good news about Christ. You can't be a Christian, then, and not have salt and light about your life, and not have an influence on those around you. Salt preserves. It opposes evil. It doesn't just go along. Too often, we even within the church sometimes go along with the things around us instead of opposing evil. Salt preserves. It doesn't just go along and be like the rest of the world. Look over to John chapter 17. If we say this is the great sermon of Jesus, John chapter 17 is the great prayer that we have from Jesus. In John chapter 17, Christ prays before he goes to the cross. And he prays for his disciples, and he prays for us. But notice what he says to his disciples in John chapter 17 and 14 and 15. He says, I have given them, talking to the disciples, your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. We're to be in the world, But we're not to be part of the world. And what keeps us from being part of the world? The Word of God. It's what keeps us separate. It sanctifies us. But we are to be part of the world around us in that we are to have influence on that world. But we are not to take the standards or to become part of the world as the world would have us. If we're salt, we can truly preserve our communities, our families, or even our nation. Look over to 1 Kings. In 1 Kings chapter 11, we have the story of the end of Solomon's life. On Wednesday night, we've been looking at the kings of Israel, starting with Saul and the second king, David. If you remember from King David, he was a pretty good king, and he brought Israel together, and they became a very strong nation. When Solomon became king, they actually had now peace with all the nations around him, and all these other nations actually paid tribute to Israel. So Israel became extremely wealthy. If you looked at Solomon's life by a worldly point of view, Solomon had everything that you could imagine. He was one of the wealthiest men in the world, so he had great wealth. He had great wisdom. People came from all over the world just to talk to him and to observe his great wisdom. He had a kingdom, so he had power. So he had power, money. Any way you want to measure things, the way the world would measure things, Solomon had it, and he had it all. There was no one that you could compare with King Solomon. Yet his heart turned away from God. And listen to what God says to Solomon in chapter 11, beginning in verse 9. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who appeared to him twice. And although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. Later on, you learn that Solomon actually built idols to a god named Molech. Molech was the most detestable god really ever in the Old Testament, because it was to Molech that the people took their babies and they burned them on this altar. Now, that's something that's hard to even imagine, isn't it? To burn babies to an altar to a god? That's the sin that Solomon brought into Israel. Now, listen on down. And you can think about how great Solomon's sin was. Since this is your attitude, and you have not kept my covenant and decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. But now listen to verse 12. Nevertheless, for the sake of David, your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. Because David was a righteous man before God, he could preserve his family even in the face of Solomon's great sins. When we are the people we should be, we have a preserving impact on our families, on our communities around us, on all of the people that come in contact. We can preserve our families and our communities, our church, when we are the people we should be. Look over to Genesis chapter 17 and 18. If you remember from last week, we looked at Abraham and how God came to Abraham and told him that even though you're 100 years old, Abraham, you're going to become a father. All and over in that same discussion, God tells him what's going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, Abraham, Sodom and Gomorrah down here are pretty bad places, and I'm going to, because of their great sins, I'm going to wipe them out. Well, listen to what Abraham says to God when he sort of asks for God to reconsider this. In verse 18 and verse 22, Abraham approached God. He says, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people? Far be it for you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike? Far be it from you, will not the judge of the earth do right? Listen to what God says to him. And the Lord said, if I could find 50 people, 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I would spare the whole place for their sake. Now, if you read on down, Abraham actually gets them down to 10 people. And in verse 32, it says, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found? And God answered, he answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. For 10 people could have preserved the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Righteous people preserved their communities. They preserved their families. If we're the salt of the earth, we preserve those around us. And you see that throughout the Scriptures, that they, righteous people, have an influence around them. Influence not only to bring people to God, but actually to preserve those that are around them. And as God said, for the sake of 10 righteous people, I would save the whole city of Sodom and Gomorrah. He would actually overlook the great sins of these cities if there had been 10 righteous people in that city. We're to be that way. We're to be the salt of the earth so that we can preserve those around us. And the other, we're to be the light of the world. We're to shine before people. We're to show people what does it mean to be a Christian. Now, if you look back over to Colossians, the verse I actually started to read a few minutes ago, getting slightly ahead in our sermon. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul talks about living a life worthy and doing it by showing people around us what does it mean to be a Christian. It means doing good deeds, living a life that shows people what you believe. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, and we pray that in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of the Lord, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Now that also is a warning that we have endurance and patience. It's not always easy. As we talked about in our Sunday school class, it's not always easy to be a disciple of the Lord. But we're to live a life worthy so that by our lives, by the good deeds that we do, we shine before people. We show them what does being a Christian mean. When you start putting the Beatitudes into your life and having the character that Christ asks us to have, then we do shine before the world and we show them, we show our communities, we show our families what it means to be a Christian. We show what it means to be blessed by God. We bring honor in the Lord. In Romans chapter 1 and 5 and 6, I want to read this out of the ESV version, the English Standard Version, because it changes the order slightly. But it has the same idea that we've just read. It says, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace, and we have received grace, through Christ we receive God's favor, to bring about obedience of faith. That obedience of faith, again, our faith brings us to obedience before God. It brings us to start living as He would have us. For the sake of His name, we do this. We bring honor and glory to God when we start living as He would have us. Among all the nations, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Do you belong to Him? This whole section of the Sermon on the Mount is talking about what does it mean to belong to God? What does it mean to be one of His? What does it mean to be a Christian? It means putting these things in your life, the Beatitudes that we just looked at, and start shining before other men. And it means preserving those around us by truly being the salt of the earth. That's what it means to belong to God. As we go through the sermon, Jesus is going to continue a contrast. The world does this, but you are to be like this. And it's to be different from the world. Think about this morning, your character. Your character does make a difference. We're to be different from the world. True happiness comes from being blessed by God. It doesn't come from the things of this world. Oh, we sometimes think that if we had all the stuff of this world, that we would be happy. But it doesn't come that way. The true blessings, the true happiness from God, comes when we put the things of God into our lives, when we start becoming like Christ. Think about your influence. As a Christian, you're to have influence on those around you. You're to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Jesus Himself was called the light to the world. Now He uses that description for us. That's a tremendous compliment if you think about it. That Jesus was the light of the world. If you go back to John chapter 1, that's the way John introduces Jesus as the light of the world. And Jesus is now saying, you are to be that light because we're to be like Him. People should be able to look at our lives and they should see Jesus. They should see those same characteristics that are His in our lives. Through all of these, we need to bring honor to our Lord because we belong to Him. And that really sums it all up. If we belong to the Lord, then we will put these things into our lives. It's when we start thinking, well, I can do what I want to do, that we're really of the world. That's a worldly point of view. The Christian's point of view is, I belong to God, and so I'm going to do the things that are of God, not the earthly things. My mind is set on things above. This morning, where's your mindset? Do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you put Him on in baptism, washing away everything of all your sins, all your whole life, so that you can truly stand before your Lord? If you put away this world in baptism, arising to walk a new life, belonging to your Lord. If you belong to the Lord, but you have failed and thought about going back to the earth, going back to the ways of the world, why not come back and rededicate yourself, living the type of life that you know that you can live only in Christ? If you have need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing?